Seven money principles for building great wealth: ownership, compounding, leverage, and survival. Great wealth is built through asset ownership. Time for compounding, reinvestment of cash flow, and structures that limit losses, not through short-term returns. This explains how to apply seven principles to real-world decisions while addressing the pitfalls of leverage and concentrated investing. Evaluate quality assets promptly, but after buying, give compounding and business growth time to work. Convert part of your earned income and business cash flow into equity stakes and productive assets that retain value over the long term. Leverage magnifies not only returns on equity, but also losses, interest costs, and the risk of forced liquidation. Even if the upside appears substantial, it cannot be considered an asymmetric opportunity unless you calculate both the probability of success and the losses from failure. Limit investment size and asset concentration so that a single failure does not result in a loss from which recovery is impossible. There is no single formula for building wealth. Income, businesses, investments, taxes, living expenses, and risk tolerance all differ. However, the process of accumulating substantial assets over a long period commonly involves ownership, time, reinvestment, leverage, and loss limitation. The laws of money discussed here are not natural laws that guarantee returns, but operating principles used in decision-making. The validity of a principle cannot be established solely through the success stories of particular entrepreneurs or examples involving famous investors. So each principle must be examined together with its potential for loss. The seven principles at a glance principle key question easily overlooked risk separating speed from time. When should you decide quickly? And how long should you hold? Rushed purchases or baseless long-term holding ownership and control, who receives the gains from appreciation? And who has decision-making authority? Mistaking a minority stake for effective control, the dual nature of leverage, what is the worst possible loss when debt is used? Interest, maturity, insufficient collateral, and forced sales, converting cash flow into assets, how much of current income is converted into productive assets? Insufficient liquidity and excessive reinvestment, asymmetric gains and losses, what are the size and probability of losses from failure and gains from success? Focusing only on large upside while ignoring probability adjusting investment size, can you invest again even if you are wrong? Concentrating all wealth and cascading losses diversification based on understanding how should risks beyond your control be spread. Mistaking confidence for control. 1. Move quickly on opportunities and give compounding time the speed of a transaction and the time over which wealth accumulates are separate variables. Once information gathering, due diligence, and funding preparations are complete, a good opportunity may require a prompt decision. By contrast, business growth after a purchase, the accumulation of rental income, profit reinvestment, and compounding generally require time. Compounding is a structure in which returns are earned not only on the principal, but also on returns accumulated in previous periods. Even with the same rate of return and holding period, the final asset value can be greater when less money is lost to taxes and fees and reinvestment continues. However, holding for a long time does not apply to every asset. If an investment thesis has been impaired in any of the following ways, the holding period itself should not become the objective. The company's competitiveness or financial soundness has structurally deteriorated. Rental income can no longer cover interest and maintenance costs. The original purchase price is far removed from realistic cash-generating capacity. Regulatory or technological changes or signs of fraud have reduced the likelihood that the asset will remain viable. A more precise principle is therefore: do not rush verification. Do not delay once an opportunity has been verified, and use time while the rationale for holding remains intact. 2. Move from a structure that only generates income to one that owns assets. Income is compensation for providing labor or services, while asset ownership is the right to participate in future cash flows and changes in value generated by the asset. Business equity, stocks, bonds, rental real estate, and intellectual property have different structures, but they all provide rights to future returns. Ownership and control must be distinguished. Category meaning example, economic ownership, the right to participate in economic outcomes, such as dividends, interest, and sale, proceeds a minority stake in publicly traded stock, voting, rights the right to vote on specified matters, such as electing directors voting common stock, effective control, the ability to exert decisive influence over strategy, capital allocation, and management composition, a controlling stake, or directly operated business. Buying shares in a publicly traded company does not mean you can control its management. Conversely, even a directly controlled business cannot control customer demand, competition, interest rates, or regulations. Investors must determine whether their rights are claims on cash flow, limited voting rights, or actual management control. The key to long-term transition is not merely accumulating money earned through continued work, but moving part of it into assets that participate in future cash flows. However, merely owning an asset does not make it a good investment if its price is excessive or its rights are unclear. 3. Leverage amplifies both returns and losses. Leverage is a structure that uses loans, derivatives, or similar arrangements to gain exposure to assets larger than the investor's equity. Leverage does not create new value. It merely magnifies the effect of asset price changes on equity. For example, assume that an asset worth KRW 1.4 billion is purchased with KRW 280 million in equity and a KRW 1.12 billion loan. This is a simplified calculation that excludes interest, taxes, fees, and repayments. Change in asset price, change in asset value, change in equity return on equity 10% increase plus KRW 140 million, KRW 280 million right arrow, KRW 420 million plus 50% 10% decrease, KRW 140 million, KRW 280 million right arrow, KRW 140 million minus 50% 20% decrease, KRW 280 million, KRW 280 million right arrow, KRW 0-100% in reality, even before. The price falls by 20%, declining collateral value, additional margin requirements, loan covenant violations, or approaching maturity may force a sale. With a variable interest rate, the interest burden can rise even if the asset price remains unchanged. When considering leverage, examine the following before expected returns. How far must the price or cash flow fall before the equity is lost? Can principal and interest still be paid if rates rise or income stops? Are there additional collateral requirements or early repayment conditions? Does liquidating the asset take longer than the remaining term of the debt? Would failure also endanger another home, business, or funds needed for living expenses? 4. Protect the present with cash flow and buy the future with equity. Salaries, business profits, interest, dividends, and rent are cash flows that can be used for living expenses and debt repayment. Stocks, business equity, and income-producing real estate are assets that participate in future income and potential appreciation. Wealth accumulation generally becomes possible when the following cycle is maintained. Labor and business income, right arrow securing living expenses and emergency funds, right arrow generating surplus, cash right arrow acquiring productive assets, right arrow reinvesting cash flow. If all cash flow is consumed, assets do not accumulate. Conversely, if all funds are locked into long-term assets, unexpected expenses may force a sale at an unfavorable time. It is reasonable to manage living expenses, emergency funds, and near-term expenditures through highly liquid instruments, while allocating only funds that will not be needed for a long time to volatile assets. 5. Asymmetric gains and losses require considering both upside and probability. An asymmetric opportunity is one in which losses are limited if it fails, while potential gains are much greater if it succeeds. However, a large maximum upside alone does not make an investment attractive. The probability of each outcome and the ability to invest again after a loss also matter. Conceptually, expected value can be considered as follows. Expected outcome equals probability of success times gain if successful minus probability of failure times loss if unsuccessful. For example, Even if an opportunity earns 3 times the amount invested when successful and loses the entire investment when unsuccessful, its simple expected value is close to zero if the probability of success is 25%. Actual probability estimates are far more uncertain, and taxes and costs also exist, so a description of up to 3 times is insufficient for making a decision. To assess an asymmetric structure, distinguish among the following: loss limit. Is the loss truly limited by contract? Additional obligations. Are there guarantees, margin calls, or additional capital contribution obligations? Probability of success. Is there objective evidence or only the seller's claim? Timing of recovery. Can the asset actually be converted into cash rather than merely showing value on the books? Correlation. Would other assets also decline under the same circumstances?
6.
Reduce the risk of ruin by adjusting investment size. A good idea and an appropriate investment size are separate issues. Even if the potential return appears high, investing all of your wealth can end your ability to invest after a single misjudgment, fraud, regulatory change, or liquidity crisis. The simplest risk calculation is as follows. Expected portfolio loss equals investment weight times scenario loss rate of the investment. If an investment representing 5% of total assets becomes completely worthless, the direct loss is, in principle, 5% of the total. However, if loans, payment guarantees, derivatives, or interconnected assets are involved, the loss may exceed the invested amount. When determining investment size, ask the following questions before asking, how much can I earn? Can essential living needs and critical goals still be maintained after a total loss? Could other investments also decline because of the same cause? After a loss, what return would be required to recover the original asset value? Is there an obligation to contribute additional funds? Are there criteria for acknowledging that the investment judgment was wrong and exiting the position? A loss of 50% requires a subsequent gain of 100% to recover the principal. Avoiding large losses is not merely a matter of psychological comfort, but of preserving the compounding structure. 7. Diversify more broadly when understanding and control are limited. Diversification spreads funds across different assets, industries, regions, and risk factors to prevent a single failure from destroying the entire portfolio. Diversification does not eliminate broad market declines or guarantee returns, but it can reduce risks concentrated in a single company or project. Concentrating on a directly operated business or a field you know well may provide informational and control advantages. However, confidence in your knowledge does not eliminate concentration risk. A founder may have not only company equity, but also salary, career, and personal relationships tied to the same company, making the risk even more concentrated than it is for an ordinary investor. The following two propositions should therefore be applied together. Do not invest in assets you do not understand, or approach them only to a very limited extent. Even assets you believe you understand are exposed to uncontrollable external risks, so do not concentrate in them at an unaffordable scale. Regular rebalancing prevents appreciated assets from becoming excessively large portions of the portfolio and restores the original risk level. Because trading costs and taxes may arise, establish a schedule or permitted range in advance to avoid excessive trading. The hidden eighth condition: costs, taxes, and liquidity determine final returns. One element often omitted from explanations of wealth-building principles is friction costs. Even when headline returns are the same, the amount actually retained differs because of fees, interest, taxes, maintenance expenses, and bid-ask spreads. The longer the compounding period, the greater the cumulative effect of these factors can become. Appraised value is also not the same as money available for use. Private company equity, real estate with few buyers, and funds with redemption restrictions may have high book values, but may not be sellable at a fair price when needed. When leverage is combined with low liquidity, even a good asset may have to be sold under pressure before maturity. Before investing, include at least the following costs in the net return calculation: buying and selling fees and price spreads, loan interest, and the possibility of rate changes property taxes, taxes related to transfers, and filing costs, insurance premiums, repair costs, management fees, and vacancy costs, early termination or prepayment costs, the time required to convert the asset into cash, and the possibility of a discount. Tax rates and legal obligations vary by country of residence, account type, asset, and holding period. Before making a specific transaction, review the relevant jurisdiction's official tax materials and the applicable contracts. 7 question checklist to use before investing. If you cannot answer the questions below with specific numbers and statements, you may not sufficiently understand the asset structure. Through what activities does this asset generate cash, and to whom is that cash distributed? What supports its long-term increase in value, and under what conditions would that basis collapse? Who holds ownership, voting rights, security interests, and effective control? What is the maximum loss if expectations prove wrong, and what additional contribution obligations exist? What is the expected return after deducting interest, taxes, fees, and maintenance expenses? If funds are urgently needed, how quickly can the asset be converted into cash, and at what discount? If this investment becomes a total loss, can essential living needs and the next investment opportunity still be maintained? Conclusion: the key to building substantial wealth is not achieving the highest return over a short period. What matters is a structure that converts cash flow into productive assets, gives good assets time to grow, and avoids catastrophic losses by controlling leverage and concentration. The ability to act quickly on opportunities is necessary, but it cannot take priority over survival. Only by distinguishing between what you can and cannot control and calculating the consequences of being wrong first, can you preserve the time needed for compounding to continue working.